Amen. Stay in it, read it, study it, meditate upon it. It's our lifeline. Amen. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 8. That's what we're going to read today. It's not been too long, a few months ago, that I read this same text and preached from this same text. But we're back here again this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Well, just in line with what Marcia was saying about the emotional, even mental state that people have found themselves in, I had sad news that came to me this week of one of our LCA students from some several years ago that took his own life this week. Devastating, just overwhelming, the thought of a young man with a child, a family, and for some reason got so desperate that he took his own life. Hard to understand, comprehend that kind of a situation. I do know that what's been going on in the last 3 months has had a big effect on a lot of people emotionally. Let's face it, it has. It's affected us all, some probably more so than others. I know that mental health is not necessarily a subject that gets talked about much in church, but there is a sad reality that a lot of people are feeling the effect of this, and even more than just the losses, financial losses and things of that sort, is what we have felt, how we have been impacted deep down in our spirit and our soul by this situation. It's a very real thing. As a matter of fact, some of the reports that I read, doctors, medical people are saying that there are nearly as many deaths from suicide and drug and alcohol-related deaths during this period as there are virus deaths. It's incredible that this could be having such a far-reaching effect. There is a close connection between our mental health and our spiritual health. And I think that we need to take a little look at this here for a few minutes today and understand that many great men in the Bible dealt with depression and discouragement. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why we enjoy reading the Psalms so much, you'll hear people say, just the Psalms are so comforting to me. And a lot of them, half of them were written by David. And David had this emotional up and down. David was just very real about how he felt, about his experience, how he felt deep down in his spirit, his soul. He was discouraged. That's true. You'll look in the scripture and you'll see that that is a common thing among great people, godly people, to experience these kind of times. Remember, Job was a man who is described as being perfect. He was upright. He feared God. He hated evil. I mean, he was a great father Job was a great, great man. But when you read Job chapter 7, he describes his misery, how miserable that he is. He describes the fact that he can't sleep, that he is troubled all night long. He can't sleep. His days are long. He's just in misery in the situations that he's facing. In one place in Job chapter 7, he actually says, to be strangled, strangling is better than what I'm going through. And he said, Lord, I don't sleep, and then if I do go to sleep, you scare me in my dreams. You frighten me in my dreams. I'm despairing of life. Literally, Job said, I would be better off if I'd never been born. That was Job, who was despairing of his situation. Moses, who's called the meekest man who ever lived, a leader and a mighty man of God, a mighty man with God, had power with God. And he became overwhelmed at the task that God had called him to do. By the way, if the Lord calls you to do something, along with that calling will be the empowerment, the ability, the equipment to get the job done. Amen. And it's okay to feel like, I don't have the strength, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the ability. Because God wants you to lean heavily upon Him in your circumstance. Moses said, how can I myself alone bear this cumbrance and the burden and the strife? And he's talking about the burden of all the people and trying to resolve all the problems and all the issues. He was overwhelmed by them. Elijah, who was a great prophet, prayed to die. He actually asked God to kill him. He was so miserable in his life. As I already mentioned, David, who was very despairing of his life and his life situation. In one place he said, I can feel like my life is just ebbing away from me. I just don't have the desire that I used to have, because David had so many failures, so much despair in his life. And as I said, he wrote about that in the Psalms. Jonah went into deep depression because God was giving Nineveh another chance. He was so despairing of the situation. Jonah 4:3 says, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's how he was feeling about the situation. He had a lot of bitterness and hatred toward Nineveh and the Assyrians. And so when God gave them mercy, it made him angry and depressed. Jeremiah the prophet was known as the weeping prophet. He confessed that he wished he had never been born. You can kind of see the pattern. And a lot of great men of God who went through seasons of discouragement and even depression. So if you've been feeling that in the last few months, you're in good company. You're in good company. And I have talked to a number of people that have confessed to me, you know, I felt this. This has really affected me in my spirit. And it's not an uncommon thing to feel sadness and even grief over changes and the loss of some opportunities and things that have changed. It's a common thing. And even among people of God and men and women of God, we need to understand that we might go through this and that we very well are. And I think we need to give attention to our brothers and sisters in the Lord and be used of the Lord to encourage them, to bless them, to lift them up if they have felt the load of this and the weight of this situation. David determined in this situation, let me just give you just a quick little background here. David had been, he was traveling with 600 men that when they started off with him, and Greg mentioned this the other night in the school message for the graduates. When he started off with these 600 men, they were a pretty bad bunch, really. They were in debt, they were in distress, and they were discontented. That's how they were described. 600 men, but after a while, you could go several chapters, and those men that had all these weaknesses, they became mighty men of God. They became mighty men. And that's the men that are traveling with David now. Coming back from battle, coming back to Ziklag, their little home there where their wives and their children were. I don't exactly know how long that they have been gone from them, but I know that it says it was a three-day journey for them to get back to them. And so they are physically exhausted to start off with. And then they have the shock of the whole place is on fire. And our wives and our children are gone. The shock of all of that. They're physically depleted, and now they are emotionally shocked by the situation that they are in. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. I think it's very descriptive, the verse that says that David and his men wept until they had no more power to weep. There's a deep, deep sorrow and grief that these mighty men now are dealing with. Overwhelmed. A deep sadness. They don't know. We know because we've read the story. But they don't know what's happening to their wives and their children. They don't know the circumstance. They feel this big loss and the hopelessness of the situation. Even to the point that they've decided. The Bible says that David was distressed. The word just literally means that he was put into this under such intense pressure. He was under this great pressure. He was the leader. And so apparently they decided, we left our families unprotected and it's David's fault. We went to follow him. And so they were talking, let's just take care of him. You notice how there has to be somebody to blame. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame in this situation the last 3 months. It's got to be somebody's fault. Let's blame a political leader, or this blame doctors, or let's blame China, or let's blame somebody. That's the natural tendency, isn't it? We want to find somebody to blame in all of this. They wept until they had no more power to weep. They were physically, completely, and emotionally depleted. And people who find themselves in deep, dark depression oftentimes are in that kind of circumstance. They're just so depleted in every way. Physically, they're depleted. Emotionally, they're depleted. And they can't see the way out. They can't see the solution to the problem. You know, if I can say, I've got this big problem, but I know that if I'll take this step and this step and this step, I can work my way out of the problem. I can deal with that. If I know the problem's going to be resolved 6 weeks or 2 months down the road or 3 months, if I can see the light at the end of the tunnel and I can see that there are steps of action that I can take to get out of the problem, I can deal with that. But this situation has been, nobody knows. You don't know what the end is. And if you, you know, you don't even know who to believe. Some say it's almost over, and others say it won't be, it'll never be over. That's despairing. That's discouragement. That's being brought to the place that we are emotionally depleted and depressed in the situation. What do you do? What can you do? Is there anything that you can do? Well, David, the Bible says that David, when he faced all of this, even his own men turning their back on him, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The word there, encourage, just means to seize on to something. Like a drowning man finds something to grasp hold of to keep from going down for the last time. To seize upon something. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He got a hold of God. He got a hold of the hope that he had in the Lord. You know, all this has had a lot of people isolated. Now, I've been to Walmart once, I think, in the last 3 months. I'm not grieving over that. Don't matter. Marcia goes, and that's okay. I'm not grieving over not going to Walmart. I'm fine with that. I'm not grieving over, you know, some things that some of you might be grieving over. But I tell you what, we were not created to be isolated. We were not created to be alone. We function best when we are together. That's the whole reason that the church exists. The church exists because we are better together. It's the plan of God that we gather together, that we work together, that we pray together, that we are able to do ministry together. Aloneness was never God's plan. You can't emotionally function right if you're alone. Even physically, you're in trouble if you try it all on your own. Everybody needs somebody. And everyone needs the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's what we do when we come together. We're able to sing together, worship together, be together in the house of the Lord, and we strengthen one another, and we edify one another. Some of you may think, well, if I don't go to church, it's not going to really make any difference. No one's going to even notice. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. We notice if you're not here. We notice it. We know it. We feel it because we draw strength from each other. We bless one another. We edify one another. Amen. And we function as the body of Christ together. Because every one of us has a place and a purpose and a calling to fulfill in the body of Christ. Amen. So what David did was get a hold of something that kept him from going under. And for those of you, and I honestly don't know what's going on in your mind, in your heart. Some of you may be dealing with this very thing. You're just really struggling in your spirit. Some of you watching the live stream, you may be really struggling with, you know, your emotions and just feeling, you know, completely depressed and overwhelmed by the situation that you're in. You can seize hold of the things of God. You can get a hold of God and you can come out of this situation. David actually finds himself all alone. That's not a very good place to be. I mean, even his closest companions are opposing him. So he's all alone. But you know, this is not the first time that David has been alone in his life. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you can do to encourage yourself in the Lord is to remember how God has been with you in the past. Remember the faithfulness of the Lord in your life in the past. Praise God. We all have a history with God. He's brought us through a lot of things. He's been faithful to us. He's shown mercy to us. He's forgiven us. He's empowered us. He's brought us through trials, troubles, sicknesses, all kinds of circumstances. And you look back. And so David was alone now, but he's been alone before. As a matter of fact, when he stood before Saul and asking for permission to go out against Goliath, everyone else there, even his own brothers, are saying, "Who do you think you are? No one was really backing him. Even Saul said, "How can you do this thing? How can you even imagine that you can go up against this Philistine?" So then David, he told him a story. He said, "Well, when I was just a boy, and I was on the backside of the wilderness taking care of my father's sheep. And one day a lion and a bear came out of the woods and they got a hold of one of my father's sheep. And I rose up and went up against that lion. No one else was there to help me, but God strengthened me and empowered me." He said, "I took a hold of the beard of that lion and I just ripped him apart." That's what he said. He killed him. Then he turned to the bear and he took care of the bear too. He told Saul that story. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he was able to defeat that lion and that bear in the wilderness. So he said, "If he did that for me then, I was all alone in the wilderness, I can go all alone out here against this Philistine and God will be with me." He said, "I'll take care of him by the power of God." And you know the story. Every child in Sunday school knows the story. David faced those enemies alone. So now he can strengthen himself and encourage himself in the Lord because he can remember, "God was with me again when I faced the lion. He was with me when I went against the bear. He was with me when I faced that giant. And he's going to be with me today." Could I just say to you, encourage yourself. Really, the Bible says that David had no one else around him to encourage him. Instead, they wanted to stone him to death. He had nobody. And you may feel totally alone. One of the things that happens whenever people slip into deep, dark depression is they feel so alone. They feel so alone. I want to encourage you today, if you're going through anything at all like this, to encourage yourself by remembering what God has done for you in the past. Just go through the list. Just go back and remember what God has done for you, how he's blessed your life, how he's blessed your family, how he blessed your home, how he's provided for you financially, how he's healed your body, how he's worked in your behalf down through the years and the faithfulness of God in your life. And go through and just enumerate that and remember that and remember that. God is faithful. He's been faithful. And so surely now he will be faithful again. Amen. Glory to God. The God that we serve was faithful in the past. He'll be faithful right now in the midst of our situation. Amen. The children of Israel, they knew that God would take them across the flooded Jordan because they could remember that God brought them through the Red Sea and brought them across on dry land. They knew that God had done it and he could do it again. Amen. So that's really one way that you can encourage yourself, by remembering. Just talk to yourself. Just testify to yourself. Just talk to yourself about the faithfulness of God. Maybe even make a list of the ways that God has taken care of you and has provided for you down through the years of your life. You'll find yourself gaining strength from that little exercise in remembering the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. Some are saying, well, these are the worst time that I ever remember in history. I don't know. I was a kid in the 60s. It's pretty bad in the 60s. It was real bad in the 60s. John Kennedy assassinated our president. His brother, Robert Kennedy, running for president, assassinated. Martin Luther King assassinated. That was all in the 60s. Riots on all the universities across our nation. Terrible situation. That was in the 60s. In the 70s, that's when our president was almost impeached, and then he resigned. Nation was in terrible turmoil in the 70s. Lots of conflicts, lots of problems, many issues. Let me tell you, if the Lord was faithful to bring you through the 60s and the 70s, some of you younger ones, you don't even know what I'm talking about, 60s and 70s, but he's been faithful down through the years, and so you can be sure that God is very much aware of what's going on in 2020, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We have a history with God, and because of that, we can encourage ourselves. And then it says that David called the priest. The Bible says that he inquired of the Lord. He turned to God and inquired of the Lord. He called the priest. The priest came with his ephod. The priest came. He would have those stones on his chest as a part of his garment. He had the stones around his neck that were called Urim and Thummim. And they were able to... through that. I know it's a little strange and really hard to even understand, but he called for the priest to help him to know what to do, to call upon the Lord. That was the way he was doing it. Obviously today we don't have to go through any man, but we do need to call upon the Lord. We do need to turn to the Lord. If you find yourself feeling the weight of discouragement and even depression and despair, you have access to Jesus. You can call upon the Lord, and we can go directly to him. As a matter of fact, we've been invited right into his throne room. Praise God. To go there, to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, we don't need to waste this time. I felt from the very beginning of it that God, if we would lean heavily upon the Lord, that through March and April and May, that God could speak to us and give to us some things that we needed to hear, that we needed to receive. In those many weeks that I would stand up in this pulpit to an empty room, and as awkward as it was, I still felt the weight of it, knowing that there were people out there that were really in need, and some that were alone, and some that were discouraged and depressed. And I had to do my best to speak the truth of God's word to their hearts and to us. I don't want to waste this time. I want this time to be productive. I want it to be a time that we hear and we learn and we see the faithfulness of God. I want us to be able to get on the other side of this and look back and say, oh, God was so faithful during that pandemic. God was so faithful when we were shut down and shut in. God was with us as a testimony, the faithfulness of the Lord. Instead of your troubles defeating you and discouraging you, let this thing motivate you to draw nearer to the Lord, to get a hold of God, to inquire of the Lord, to get some answers from God, to get a sense of direction from the Lord. He'll show you, he'll speak to you just like he did to David, if you will inquire of the Lord. The answer to David was pursue. Yes, pursue. And then the assurance. You will recover it all. No losses. You will recover it all. I'm sure that none of them could have imagined that a band of ruthless Amalekites could come in and steal away their wives and their children, and that there could have be no casualties, no harm come to them. I'm sure that in their minds was the imagination of the horror that their families were going through. But David heard from the Lord. Pursue them, you'll recover them all. You'll bring all of them back. Your little babies and your children and your grandchildren and your wives. They're all going to come back. They're all going to be recovered. Praise God. Some of the losses of this time. I do believe God can help us to see that God can speak to us. And if we'll move in the direction of the plan of God, the will of God, that the Lord will show himself faithful, amen, to provide for us. Pursue, literally. He was telling him, you're going to have to move. You're going to have to take action. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that they were so physically tired. As a matter of fact, it says that 200 of those men could not go with David. They were so physically depleted, they couldn't go. So he went with 1/3 less of his men. 200 remained behind, completely depleted. They went in the courage and the strength of the Lord. They went up against this enemy with the confidence that God was going to help them, that God was going to provide for them. They could pursue and they would be able to recover all, recover it all. Everything. You know, the enemy is a thief. One of the things that I was concerned about and have been concerned about and have prayed about is, Lord, what if folks get used to the idea of not going to church and we start back and they've been enjoying watching in their pajamas eating their cereal and they just want to do that again? Lord, what if they don't want to come back to church? So you can imagine how encouraged I was when our first service came around and everybody come walking in the door. And you were just as anxious to get back here as I was to get back in the house of the Lord. I believe the Lord can help us. The enemy's the thief. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God can help us to recover all. I just want to take a moment right now as we close out this service for you to be just honest before the Lord. Because you've been dealing with a lot of just exactly what we've been talking about today. Your spirit has been affected. Your soul has been affected. There's been a real darkness and a depression of the enemy working against you. And you recognize right now, today, I have got to get a grip on God. I've got to get a grip on the Word of God. And not allow all that the enemy would like to destroy to take me down, but to get a hold of the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we don't know the end of all of this. There's a lot of unanswered questions as far as the virus and the pandemic. We don't know how things are going to. I like to think I could tell you, but I don't really know for sure. I really don't. But I can tell you that God is your help. God is your strength. And what you need is to encourage yourself. Make the move toward God and toward the Word of God. Toward building up yourself in spirit. Amen. I've been saying this almost every week. Turn off the news. Turn off the news. You need about 5 minutes of news a day. That's all you need. That's enough negativity to fill your soul with that. And then turn to God. Turn to good things. Turn to ministry, to teaching and preaching and the word of the Lord. And fill up your mind and your spirit with those things. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to pray together right now. If you found yourself really, really battling with discouragement, I want to ask you just to cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord this morning. He's your help. He'll come to your rescue. Can we pray together? Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our strength and our help in the hour of need. And I know, Lord, that you care about each one of the brothers and sisters in this place today. Lord, I'm so thankful that we are not alone, but we have those around us to help us. But most important, like David, Lord, we remember your faithfulness and how you have worked in our lives over the many years. You have been faithful. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness to us. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, for any in this service that have been dealing with just a great load of sorrow and darkness and depression, struggling through all of this. Lord, help them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, remind them today of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord.